So glad you're here. We're going to get into the Word of God in just a minute. And I got to tell you, you got to be ready to receive the Word, because the Holy Spirit, He always wants to give us new revelations. He wants to give us fresh manna. He wants to show us how to live life abundantly, successfully, victoriously. It's up to us. Are we going to live according to His Word? If we choose to live His Word, He promises you will experience His blessings. You will experience His miracles. It's up to us. Are we going to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to live and do your work? So why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your holy presence. We seek after you because, Lord, there's no other place that we would rather be than in the presence of our Lord, God, and King. And I ask you now, Lord, as your word comes and fills our minds, our spirit, with more of you, I pray, Lord, that as we take in your word, we're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. We're going to leave here knowing that we have become more and more like Jesus. So I ask you now, Lord, as your holy presence abounds in this very place, we know, Lord, your angels are all around us, ministering to us, showing us, Lord, your ways, your light, your truth. So we give it all to you now. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ we pray these things. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Praise God. When you take a look at your notes today, the title of my sermon is American Idols. American Idols. Not American Idol. This is not a singing contest. Because if it was, I would call up my brother June to come up and sing for us. But it's American Idols. And I want to tell you, I remember when I was in the fourth grade, I was about 9 or 10 years old, I went to Long Drug Store at Perwick Center with my mom. And I remember my mom was shopping for food items that were on sale. So I said, Mom, I'm going to look around in the electronics department, okay? And you can come look for me later. So she said, okay, go ahead. So as I was walking there, I passed by an aisle that had an assortment of Hawaiian souvenirs. And it kind of sparked my interest. I thought, I want to check this out. So I went to take a look at some of the things they had on the shelf. And you know what they had? They had Hawaiian tikis. And these Hawaiian tikis had like sparkling gemstone eyes. And I was looking at that. I was kind of almost mesmerized by it. And it had a keychain that was attached to it. And each of them had a Hawaiian name on the tag. And it said that it possessed special powers. And one said, if you carry this with you and believe in it, you will have supreme knowledge and wisdom. I said, I need to be a little bit more smarter. And another said, it will bring you great wealth and fortune if you carry this. Another one says, it will bring you superb athletic skills. So I want to be like Superman from the basketball court. And I was thinking, man, really, these things can give me this kind of power? I want to ask you, guess which one I bought? What do you think I bought? Because I did buy one. Actually, I bought the one that would make me more smart. Because, not that I was a little or anything, but hey, I wanted to be more smart. And I have to tell you, I thought, okay, I'm going to try this one first. And I'm going to see if it really works. If it works, I'm going to buy the others. And so, you know what? I remember my next test came. And I said, okay, I'm going to try this out. I'm not going to prepare for my test. I prepared very minimally. And I remember I took it into the classroom, was in my pocket. I rubbed it. And I said, okay, do your thing. And I remember, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do well. Well, let me ask you, how do you think I did on the test? No, I flunked. Now that I look back, to tell you the truth, though, I'm glad I flunked that test. You know why? Because if I really did well on the test, I probably would have gone to Long Drugs that day and bought the whole collection. And, you know, there was like 12 in all. What I didn't realize at that time, because I wasn't a believer, I didn't know God at that time yet. But what I was doing, I was giving worship to something that I believed had a power that I wanted to possess. Because that's what it said on the tag. I said, wow, it can give me power, then I want that power. If I put my trust in that thing, it will make me smart. Oh, that's good. I want to be smarter. So here's the thing, though. In reality, I kind of look back and I realized what I wanted really was a shortcut. Because you know what? I was thinking, man, if this thing can give me power, I don't have to put too much effort in making myself better. I could do the least amount of effort in going to school and studying, and I would do well. And I thought, I believe in this thing, it can happen. But I realized, man, now I regret doing that. And I realized it's only God that can give us all we need in life to live victoriously, to live successfully. It's only God when we truly love Him from deep within our hearts. If we look to Him, God says, I will provide for all your needs. It's based on our love relationship that we have with each other. Look what it says in Exodus 20, 46. Here it says, God says, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Just from these verses, you know, you hear about people say, oh, America is going to head for a big downfall. But what do you think will lead to America's downfall? Will it be hatred and violence? Will it be the Democrats or the Republicans? Will it be global warming? Will it be materialism? Will it be illegal immigration, etc., etc.? What do you think it is? Well, the Bible makes it very clear what will lead to a country's downfall. And it might be America. You know what it is? Idolatry. And this has been the cause of the downfall of many nations. Because you know what? It is the downfall of man. Man making a terrible choice, saying, you know what? We're going to turn away from God. And we're going to turn to man-made images. We're going to turn to things that we don't have to give our full worship to. We're going to worship other things. We're going to worship images. We're going to worship wooden idols that we can honor and give glory to. The Bible makes it very clear. This displeases God. And we are to have no part of it. Because why would you want to do something that would grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Stay away from that, brothers and sisters. Because at its very core, idolatry is a worship issue. Because people, you got to understand, the Bible tells us, we were created to what? Worship. The question is, who do we worship? And our answer begs the question, what do we believe about the one we worship? Because we got to make sure we're worshiping the only one and true God. If not, boy, you're in a sinking ship. You'll never experience the one and true God of the Bible. So here's the question. As Christians, how are we to deal idolatry? Well, number one here, it says, idolatry is worshiping the wrong God. Idolatry is worshiping the wrong God. Well, Romans 1, 18 to 25, this is what it says. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God or gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became what? Fools. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. You know, from these verses, we learn that every man has a God or believes in a God. Small g God. Because listen to what Blaise Pascal says here. He's a French mathematician, philosopher, and physicist in the early 1600s. This is what he says. He says, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man. The problem with the God-shaped vacuum is that we can fill it with a number of gods. Yeah, we want to suck in who God is. But the problem is, man looks for their own gods. And somehow, the one and only true God is not enough for them. So they make their own gods. And they suck it in. It's a vacuum that keeps sucking it in. And I got to tell you, you can only imagine how displeased, how sad our Father God is when he sees us doing this. Because according to what the Bible tells us, what idolatry is, you know what idolatry, according to what the Bible says it is? It is giving our worship to any God other than the God of the Scripture revealed in Jesus Christ. And you know, America is rampant, rampant with idolatry. And we can go a step further and say, you know what, within the Christian church, idolatry is also rampant. Because it comes in many forms. The first one is what we call religious idolatry. And that happens when a person worships a declared deity, such as Hinduism, or Islam, or Buddhism. I'm going to tell you what the second one is in just a minute here, but I want to show you this clip so you get an idea what religious idolatry is all about. Brother, can you go ahead and run that video?
And the show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. Well, you would think they were crazy if you didn't understand their culture and their religion. See, that's just the thing. They were worshippers of idols. And they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted. They danced. They made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. You don't really relate, do you? Let's try it again. I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. See, that's just the thing. They were worshippers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted. They danced. They made sacrifices to their idols. But they had built these enormous temples to worship their idols. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. Idol worship. It's not just about golden calves anymore.
Woo! It's not just about golden cows anymore. And you know what? The second one. So the first one is religious idolatry. The second one is secular idolatry. And this occurs when people search or find meaning in worldly success, happiness, security, peace, or wholeness, or in anything other than the God of the Scripture revealed through Jesus Christ. And you may ask, so, Pastor Ben, does that mean I can go to a football game? Well, you can, but make sure God is first. Whatever you do in life, make sure God is given top priority. Because otherwise, you will not truly experience the holy presence of God in great abundance because He wants you to put Him first above all things. Amen? Because that's when you can truly know that your love for Him is sincere, it's real. Amen? Yeah. You know, I gotta tell you, a well American author, he wrote, man is certainly stark mad. That's what he says. He says, he cannot make a worm, yet he'll be making gods by the dozens. By the dozens. And it's true, right? We can make a worm. Have you ever tried making a worm? Only God can make a living creature. But why is it that man, they're making all these idols? And they're worshiping idols that really can't do anything for them. Because only our Lord God and King can make things happen in our life. He's the only one who can bring forth his very best in our lives. And that's where we got to realize we got to give our whole heart to him and him alone. Because you don't have to start your own religion to make a God. You don't have to have a religion. I want you to understand that all you got to do is put anyone or anything in God's place. What is that one thing in your life to which all things must bow down? Is there that one thing that it seems like your whole life is centered around this one thing? And you're so focused on this thing, sometimes, you know what? You say, oh, I give God first priority, but there are times, no. You're giving this one thing first priority. God knows this. And I know there are times in my life I didn't think that I had anything else, but then God showed it to me. The Holy Spirit said, no, Ben, you're hanging on to something. And I had to seek after God, and he showed it to me. And I got to tell you, when you realize what it is, you say, Lord, it's yours. I don't want to give glory to this thing. I want to give you the glory. I tell you, God just comes. He shows you, yes, this is what I want. I want your whole heart. I want your whole devotion. And that's where you will experience God like you never experienced before. Because God has your whole life. And that's what he wants from you and he wants from me. Because you know what? It could be a career. It could be a relationship. You know, it could be like, oh, your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever. And no, my girlfriend or boyfriend doesn't want me to know God more. No, he or she doesn't want me to go to church. You know, you got to put God first. This is very important. Or it could be material stuff where you're spending so much time on a material thing that, you know, when it comes to reading the Bible, say, no, it's more important that I keep my shiny red Corvette nice and shiny. You know what? All of a sudden, you know, your spouse may be saying, oh, come read the Bible to your kids. No, I still got to shine the back part of this nice car. You got to make sure our priorities are right. God is given glory for everything in your life. God is given first priority. Amen? Because it can also be addictions such as gambling, overeating, pornography, alcoholism, etc., etc., etc. What are you putting first? And you know what? It can even take the form of family. Did you know that? You know, a 2007 study by the Barna Group, they found that 7 out of 10 adults who said they believe in God now, they said they chose their earthly family over their heavenly father when they were asked to choose the most important relationship to them. What would you say if someone asked you, who is it that you have the most important relationship with? Would you say God? Or would you say my spouse or my children? Here's the other thing. Of the 1,004 adults over the age of 18 that were surveyed, 1/3 said that their immediate earthly family is more important than God. That's also called a nuclear family. The nuclear family consists of parents and the children. They say, no, my nuclear family is number one over God. And I've got to tell you something. I remember before Johnny and I got married, we went to a premarital counseling, and these counselors asked us individually, who is the number one priority in your life? Who is the one person that you love the most of everyone you know? And you know, Johnny and I, we both had the right answer. We said, Father God, Jesus Christ is our number one. And we knew we both meant it because they told us, yeah, you guys have the right answer. You know, and I told her, I wouldn't want it any other way. But you think about it, the world will say, what? You're putting someone else number one over me? You know, Jesus is number one. Someone who doesn't know God, you know what they would say? You're putting another man as number one in your life over me? You know, I told Johnny, I wouldn't want it any other way. And Jesus has said the same thing to me. Because we realize with God number one in our life, we're going to get it all together. Our life will be blessed by his very hand. We know as we look to the one that wants to bless us so abundantly, we put him number one first, Our marriage will be blessed. Our lives will be blessed. We got to make sure he always is given first priority. I want you to listen to this quote by C.S. Lewis. It's very deep. I love this quote. Listen to what he says. C.S. Lewis, the Christian author. He says here, "When I have learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now." Catch that? It says, "Insofar as I learn to love my earthly dearest at the expense of God and instead of God, I shall be moving towards the state in which I shall not love my earthly dearest at all." And Lewis concluded with this thought: when first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased. Catch that? When you truly say God is number one, He's put first, guess what? Everything will fall into place. When you say God is first, you got to make sure He is truly given first priority, and truly your family, your loved ones, your relationship with them will be so blessed because you're loving them with the love of God. I want you to understand that when you put God first, you're not just loving with your own human love, you're loving with the very love of God. Is the love of God perfect? Yes, it is. Is our human love perfect? No, it isn't. Because, yes, you can feel me and I can feel you because we're not perfect. But God's love is perfect. And that is why when so many couples, they come in and they truly understand what this concept is all about, this biblical concept, I see how their marriage is just so wonderfully blessed. It is so good because they're loving each other with the very love of God. Isn't that good? And that's what God wants from all of us, to realize we don't have to love with our own love because the God of love, love of God is in us. And we can love with His love. Amen? That's where your relationship will be truly blessed. Well, number two here, it says, idolatry is worshiping God the wrong way. You know, in the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, the Father made it clear which God we are to worship. And here's what it says, Exodus 20, 1 to 3. It says here, "And God spoke all these words." What did He say? "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other God before me." And yes, He is the God of the Bible. He is the one that freed the Israelites, His people, from slavery in Egypt. And through His word, we discover that He is the creator, but you know what else? He is the sustainer of the world. You know what that means, to sustain? That means to keep going, to keep alive. Because that's what He does. He keeps a watchful eye on those that fear Him and love Him. But here's the thing. I heard people tell me this. "You know what? I believe God is the universe." I scratch my head a little bit. "It is the universe?" I say, "Yeah, He is the universe." I say, "Well, I know the Bible tells me He's the creator of the universe. It doesn't say He is the universe." Because, you know, other people will tell me, "Oh, God is Mother Nature." Really? Well, Mother, isn't that a female? Doesn't the Bible say that God is a king? And, you know, it's just like they make up these things of who God is. This is not the God that we know of in the Bible. And, you know, other religious groups, they believe that, "Yes, I know, but you believe that He is the creator, and I believe that too." That's what they tell me. But you know what? They say they don't believe that He is the sustainer. What? He said, "Yeah, He created God, I believe that, but He doesn't want to have a relationship with you." What? That's not what the Bible tells me. It tells me very plain and clear that God loves us and He created us so that He can have a loving relationship with us because we're His children. And they go, "Well, I don't believe that He is a sustainer, that He will sustain you, that He wants to keep you alive and blessed. How can you believe that? Because you know what? In the scriptures, look what it says in Hebrews 1:3. Let's read this one together. I love this verse. Ready, go. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. By his powerful word. So do you believe that God is our sustainer? Yes, he sustains us. He keeps us alive with his presence through his word. He's the one that can give us all we need to live a victorious life. Yes, he sustains us. And we've got to believe that with our whole hearts. And here's the thing I want you to understand. You know you are worshiping the one and true God when you're expressing your deep love to him. You ever done this where sometimes, you know, I just find a place where, you know, the kids are sleeping, you know, and John Lee, she's probably sleeping too. And I'll just find a real quiet spot, you know, in the living room. And I go, Lord, I love you. And I just want to express that to him. You know, I don't reach for a Bible or play worship music. I just, in the quietness of the most quiet place I can find, I'm just saying, Lord, I love you so deeply. I'm so grateful, Lord. I'm so thankful to you. I praise you, Lord. And you know, right in that very moment, it's almost like I experienced the love of God just coming right upon me. And he's just filling my heart and my soul with his love. And I know his presence is all about love. When he can just wrap you in his presence, his arms, you can just feel it just holding you tight, hugging you and saying, yeah, I love you, child, because you belong to me. This is how you know this is one and true God. That is real in your life. Because this is what it says in Matthew 22, 37 to 38. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And when you can love the Lord with your entire being, with every fiber of your being, I gotta tell you, you will experience God for who he really is. Because what does the Bible say? God has love, or God is love? He is love. And when you're experiencing God, you're experiencing love. True love. The love that you can't experience anywhere else. Not from anyone else. It's only through him you can experience this kind of love. And, you know, I know my brother, Pastor Walton, he was here several weeks ago, and he used this illustration. And I know Elder Fred, he also used this in his sermon, but, you know, this is the third time I want to mention this, but it's so good, I got to say it again. Remember what Pastor Walton and Elder Fred said about what religion is? Remember? They said, religion is man serving God. Man has to set the table and work hard to get to him, right? Whereas Christianity, our relationship with God is God serving man. God sets the table for us. Is that love or what? Imagine the creator of the universe saying, I'm going to set this table for you. I want you to enjoy. I'm going to bring your favorite drink. I'm going to bring your favorite food. Hawaiian food. Yes, from Helena. It's better than Helena. But Jesus says, I've come to serve you. Is that mind-boggling or what? Yeah. The creator of the universe wants to serve you, wants to serve me. There's no other God but Jesus Christ. And wow, his love cannot compare to any other. And he says, I want this for you because I love you that much. So let's receive the fullness of God's love, making sure we're honoring him as he is the first priority in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number three here, it says that idolatry is the perversion of the one true God. I'll say it again. Idolatry is the perversion of the one true God. And what is the definition of perversion? It's the turning away from what is right or true. And basically, a person who does pervert the Word of God, he's making up his own evil ideals of what he thinks the Word of God is. You got to be careful of this, because you know what? Sometimes we say, oh, I believe or I think this is what the Word of God is all about. And it's totally distorted. This is not pleasing to God. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. This is what God says here. He says, I will hide my face from them, God says, and see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children who are unfaithful. And who are they unfaithful to? God. And you know what? They make up their own ideas. They make up their own idols. And that's where, that's a big no-no for God. He doesn't want you to do that. I want you to look at what letter A says here. It says, when we distort God, we are guilty of idolatry. When we distort God, we are guilty of idolatry. You know, there is this pastor, his name is H.E. Fostick, and he was a pastor of New York's Riverside Church for many, many years, and he spent many hours counseling students from nearby Columbia University. And you know, one evening, a distraught young man just burst into his office, and he announced to him, Pastor, I have decided I cannot and I do not want to believe in God. And Fostick, Pastor Fostick said, all right, but describe for me the God that you don't believe in. And the student sketched out his whole idea of who God is. And when he was finished, Pastor Fostick said to him, well, you know what? We're all in the same boat, because I don't believe in that God either. That's the thing, right? There are times we kind of picture in our own head an image of who God is based upon our circumstances. Oh, God is not for me. Look what's happening in my life. Well, what are you doing about it? Are you trying to draw close to Him? Or are you just continuing to blame Him for all the misery that you have in your life? Why don't you try reaching out to Him, reaching out to the God who loves you so much, instead of cursing Him, instead of blaming Him? Go to God and say, Lord, I need you. Help me. It starts with us. We've got to humble ourselves before God, and He will show Himself strong in your life. I guarantee it, because the Word of God tells us this. Amen?
Amen.
Well, letter B here, it says, when we dethrone God, we are guilty of idolatry. Who sits on the throne? God does. Do we ever sit on the throne? No, we're not supposed to, right? But sometimes we do dethrone God because we think we know better than Him. We may be praying and praying, oh, I'm not getting the answer. And or you may be saying, oh, this is not the answer I wanted, Lord. I got a better way, so I'm going to try it out. I'm going to try my way first. That's dethroning God. When you put your trust in something or someone more than Him. And sometimes, guess what? You can say, I trust myself more than I trust God. Danger! Don't do that! Because that shows pride is entering in. Because I've been there in my life where I let pride in. I said, God, I'm going to try it my way. And I fall so hard, I fall flat on my face. And I realize I need God that much. We all need God that much. Amen? Because you know what? That's what happens when we fail to obey Him, when we enjoy anything more than God. That's where we got to realize, man, we better stop that. Because God's got to be put first above all things. I got to tell you about my brother Walter. I know he uses me a lot in his sermons and embarrasses me, but it's okay. Well, it's payback time. I got to tell you, I know he's okay, so you can share whatever you want, brother. And so I'm going to just share this one thing. I got to tell you, you know, before my brother became a pastor, he was a total basketball freak. And his team was the Boston Celtics, and he knew all the statistics of all the players. I mean, he just was so in love with basketball. And not only that, he would spend hours on end in the basketball court, something like 5-6 hours. And you got to understand, he's really good. I mean, he practiced his shots and everything. I got to challenge you, Brother Omar. But he went up against, like, you know, like these college players, you know, that are like 6'4". And, oh, man, he can outmove them. I mean, he could get the shots down, you know, even though they're guarding him. Oh, man, he goes right over them and just, wow, just make that shot. And that's how much he loved basketball. But then he told me, he says, you know, then I kind of realized I was making basketball my God. Because there are times, he says, you know, when he knew he had to go to, let's say, a Bible study, no, he says, I want to play one more game with these guys. And guess what? He misses. He misses the Bible study for what? For basketball. And then he came to a point and said, Ben, I just gave it all up. Because I was putting basketball first before God. I was putting basketball as my number one priority. And he says, Ben, he just gave it all. He stopped watching the game. He stopped going to the court.
Amen.
And nowadays, you know, he'll just play once in a while. But that's the thing, right? Sometimes we don't have to give it all up completely. But you know what? We got to make sure that we're putting him first. That when we know that something else is above him, this is not pleasing our God. And when you put God first, he's going to make everything fall into place. Your life will be truly blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let us see here. It says, when we place very little value on God, we are guilty of idolatry. And it basically means when we treat God with little respect or importance, we disrespect God when we don't give him the full attention that he wants from us. Because when we're not engaging in worship, because you know when we sing songs of praise, this is one form of worship to God. I know some people would go, I don't know why people are raising their hands. And I explain to them, right? And Elder Freddie, he kind of, you know, explains this. Just about every week, he says, this is not a hold up, right? This is saying, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, fill me because I'm in desperate need of your holy touch. This is what it's all about. It's raising your hands and saying, Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. That's what it's about. And we're not willing to engage in worship like this. We're just standing around. And we're just kind of listening to everyone singing, and we're just kind of like talking to our neighbor. This is disrespecting God. Because somebody might tell me, say, you know what? You know, worship, you can do it any way you want. It's not through just the singing, you know? I don't have to sing to God. I can go out and pray. I can talk to him. I can worship him. I say, yes, that's true. But you realize this is a family of believers right here. And when we're worshiping God together, the presence of God is strong. And we're wanting to please God as a family, united in the Spirit of Christ. You got to honor him. You give him worship. You give him praise. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to experience his presence in a mighty way. You got to remember that. Always give your best. When you walk in that door here, whether it be here or any other church, you're saying, I'm going to give my best to you right now, Lord. That means you say, Lord, help me to worship from deep within my heart, deep within my spirit. Or it could be the case where you come to church, but you don't listen to the preaching. Whoever is up here, we got to understand you're preaching the very words of God. And I know if you know and believe that your leader of the church is anointed by God, know that all the word that is spoken is from the Holy Spirit. It's not about the man up here. It's all about him. We are to give the full attention. Doesn't matter who it is. Anyone's up here, you know that God will speak to him. We're not to disrespect God, because that's what you're doing when you're not willing to give your full attention. Because God, he has a message for you. Every week, every day. But when you're here, oh, give the full attention to him. Don't be distracted. Listen intently, because I got to tell you, the word of God, when it comes and hits you in the right place,
your life will be transformed. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, that's what I needed. That's what I needed to hear. Because if you're distracted, you're thinking about something, you're daydreaming, God could have just given you that exact message you needed to have that victory in your life. But you were busy, distracted on something else, and you missed it. Please, brothers and sisters, give your full attention, your full worship to God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and the other thing is, I wanted to mention is, we also disrespect God when we are superficial and not sincere about our relationship with Him. Make sure we're always coming with a heart of sincerity, saying, Lord, I want to give You all of me. Lord, I want to worship You from deep within my spirit, deep within my soul. Because you know what? Sometimes, here's the thing. We can easily replace Him with something or someone of which the world holds a greater value. Let me give an example of this. You know, a decade ago, did you know egg cells, they average 68.5 million dozens per week. That's a lot of eggs, 68.5 million dozens of eggs. You know, the week before Easter, they jumped to 80.4 million dozens. Wow, chickens, they gotta work extra hard. But during Easter week, get this now, they rose to 111.8 million dozens. So it jumped from 68.5 to 80.4 and 111.8 million dozens. And you know, here's the thing. As Easter becomes less and less about our Lord Jesus Christ, we can expect that egg sales will continue to rise. Because that's what it's become. It's becoming less and less about Jesus. And you know, the world can only take so much Jesus before it feels compelled to change the subject. Because isn't that true? Sometimes when you're talking to your friend, oh, you want to talk about Jesus? Oh, not again. You and your God thing. Oh, da, da, da. And they say, let's change the subject. Da, 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 da. Right? But here's the thing, when you really think about it, don't you think it's just like a real bizarre shift of conversation? How do you go from God dying on the cross to pay for the sins of the world to colored eggs? Because people say, oh yeah, I got this nice red pinkish color that you're going to love. And I got nice stickers you can put on your egg. Oh, you're going to love this. And that's what it all becomes, right? We should be telling our children, you know what Easter is all about? It's about our Father God sending His only beloved begotten Son here on this planet Earth, to live on this earth, to die for you on the cross because of His great love for you. That's what Easter is all about. That's what we should be telling the children, not be telling them about colored eggs. Because you know what? During Christmas, who is it about for the world? Yeah, Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman, right? And during Easter, it's about bunnies and eggs. The Easter Bunny is coming to give you a special prize. And you know, it's not about that. And you know, some Christians may say, oh, come on, Pastor, lighten up. I say, Mom, I want to lighten up, but I want the light of God to shine forth. I want Jesus to be first priority during these holidays, because that's what they call it. I want Jesus to be number one in Easter. I want Jesus to be number one in Christmas. I want Jesus to be number one every single day. Isn't that how we are to live? Isn't that what it's all about? I gotta tell you, when you truly have that kind of heart, your life will be overly and abundantly blessed. Because you know what? The truth of the matter is, it seems as if the world are more accepting of these characters, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, because they're not threatening. And you hear, right, in our society today, said you got to be politically correct. You can't even mentioning God. Hey, Brother Fred, you cannot be talking about God. There's not everyone here that are Christians. You better be quiet. You got to be politically correct. You know what? To tell you, I'd rather be spiritually correct than politically correct. It's I have to open my mouth for God, I will open it. I need to speak the word of God when it needs to be spoken. We need to be bold. We need to be courageous about speaking the word of God. Don't let society hold you back. Say, no, you can't say that. That's politically incorrect. I don't want to be spiritually correct in the presence of God. We need to speak it with love. Speak it wholeheartedly when it needs to be spoken. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Praise God. And you know, it seems as if today, if we are just as guilty of idolatry, if not more, than Israel, of breaking the second commandment. I want to tell you about Tim Keller. He's the author and founding pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. And listen to this. Listen to what he says. This is very good. I like this. He says here, sin isn't only doing bad things, because that's what we believe, right? Sin is doing all the bad stuff. He says here, it is more fundamentally making good things into ultimate things. Ultimate things, the best things in your life. And he says, sin is building your life and meaning on anything, even a very good thing, more than on God. And he says, whatever we build our life on will drive us and enslave us. And he says here, sin is primarily idolatry. Think about that. Because when you put something of greater importance than God, that's sin. That is idolatry. We got to say no more, Lord. I'm sorry for doing that. I want to put you first, because you may say, oh, I got to do this thing because it will make my life better. God will make your life better. You want to do it your own way, then go ahead, but you're only going to go so far. God says, I will go above and beyond what you could ever imagine if you let Him, if you trust in Him. Amen. So what is God's view of idolatry then? Well, put it plain and simple, He hates it. And He will judge it. Plain and simple. So we are not to partake of it, because we can go ahead and read Romans 1 again. You know, and what it says, what I read earlier, it makes it very plain and clear. He is not pleased when we put something else above Him. You got to make sure He's number one. So what we can do is take an inventory. I want you to answer these questions and let the Holy Spirit be your guide. If there is something in your life that you know you got to let go, you got to give over to God, just do it today. Make a decision. I'm going to surrender it to God. Here are the questions. Are you worshiping the one true God? You know this for a fact. The God of the Scriptures. Are you worshiping God in the right way? Is there anything or anyone more important to you than God? Is there anything that consumes you to the point where you're willing to just give up time with God for this very one thing? Is there anything you choose over God? Is there anything that you allow to interfere with your relationship with God? The last one here, is there anyone or anything that keeps you from worshiping God? There are. Make it right with God. You gotta make sure He's given the first priority. And here's the bottom line verse. I want you to read this one with me together, because this is one of my most favorite verses also. And this is in Jeremiah 2:13, and this is the New Living Translation version. Why don't we go ahead and read that together? Ready? Go. For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water. And they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. You know what a cistern is?
Nope.
It's a well. So if your well is cracking, you fill it with water, what's going to happen to the water? It's going to come out. It's not going to hold any water. And I have to tell you, you put something first above God. God says, I'm going to fill your well overflowing of my blessing. But if you're putting something else at number one in your life, guess what's going to happen? It's going to start to leak out. And you're going to keep wondering, I thought God's supposed to bless me. I thought God would give me His very best if I believe in Him and trust in Him. Yes, He has given you His very best. But you're also putting your faith in something else. You're putting your trust in something else. It's time to let go. Because as soon as you let go of that very thing, that crack will no longer be there. And guess what? Your life will be overflowing. Oh, overflowing of His goodness. All the days of your life. He promises it. He guarantees it. Because I got to tell you, whatever it is, it could be a thing, it could be a person, no matter what it is. Because you know what God says? Surrender it to me. And whatever you know you're holding on to, it's time to let go of it. And I want to conclude by telling you about this story. And it's a true story, and it's an article. It's called Sacrifice at Sea. You may have heard of this illustration, but I really want you to catch the heart of this, because this really describes the heart of our Father God. I'm going to read it to you so that you can really understand what God is trying to show us here, okay? Here's what it says. It says, after a few of the usual Sunday evening hymns, a pastor slowly stood up, walked over to the pulpit, and before he gave his sermon, he introduced a guest minister who was in the service. The pastor told the congregation that the guest minister was one of his dearest childhood friends, and that he wanted to give him a few moments to greet the church and share whatever he felt was appropriate. With that, an elderly man stepped up to the pulpit and began to tell a story. He says, a father, his son, and a friend of his son were sailing off to the Pacific coast, he began, when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to shore. The waves were so high that even as an experienced sailor, the father could not keep the boat upright, and the three were swept into the ocean as the boat capsized. The old man hesitated for a moment, making eye contact with two teenagers who were listening intently for the first time since the service began. The aged minister continued with his story. Grabbing a rescue line, the father had to make the most excruciating decision of his life, to which boy he would throw the other end of the lifeline. He had only seconds to decide. The father knew his son was a Christian, and that his son's friend was not. The agony of his decision could not be matched by the torrent of waves. As the father yelled out, "I love you, son," he threw out the lifeline to his son's friend. By the time the father had pulled the friend back to the capsized boat, his son had disappeared beneath the raging swells into them, the black of night. His body was never recovered. By this time, the two teenagers were sitting up straight in the pew, anxiously awaiting the next words to come out of the old minister's mouth. And this is what he said. The father, he continued, knew his son would step into eternity with Jesus, and he could not bear the thought of his son's friend stepping into eternity without Jesus. Therefore, he sacrificed his son to save the son's friend. How great is the love of God that he should do the same for us. Our Heavenly Father sacrificed His only begotten Son that we could be saved. I urge some of you to take hold of the lifeline He's throwing out to you right now. And with that, the old man turned and sat back down in his chair. As silence filled the room, the pastor again walked slowly to the pulpit and delivered a brief sermon with an invitation at the end. However, no one responded to the appeal. After the service ended, the two teenagers were at the old man's side, and they said to him, "That was a nice story, mister," stated one of the boys politely, "but I don't think it was very realistic for a father to give up his only son's life in hopes that the other boy would become a Christian." "Well, you got a point there," the old man replied, glancing down at his worn-out Bible. As a big smile broadened his narrow face, he once again looked up at the boys and said, "It sure isn't very realistic, is it?
But I'm standing here today to tell you that story gives me a glimpse of what it must have been like for God to give up his son for me. You see, I was that father, and your pastor is my son's friend.
Wow.
What about sacrifice? That's the true kind of love that God wants from us. Saying you're willing to give of your very best to me, even your most loved, cherished one. Ask yourself, would you be willing to do that? Because the Bible says we are not to idolize anything or anyone that is in the world. And you know what? Some people tell me, oh, but I idolize God. No, you don't. Idolize God. You worship God. You worship him because he is the one and true God. And you know as your heart gives up your very best worship to him, oh, his presence will come upon you. Because we are to put him first above everything and everyone. And this is the ultimate test to show that, hey, you're number one. It has to have the willingness to say, Lord, I'm willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. Just as he gave the ultimate sacrifice for us, he gave up his only one begotten son for us so that we may live and live abundantly. That's how much God loves us. Really, I want you to just take this in, brothers and sisters. He loves you so much. He loves you dearly. No matter what you're going through in life, says, I love you. Hold on to me. Don't give your worship to anything else. Just love me. God says, I'll show you who I am. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. Love him deeply. Don't give your worship to anybody or anything else. Give it all to him, the sustainer of life, the very one and true God that can give all you need in life. To live victoriously. Let's keep our minds and hearts on him, that he already did this for us. He sacrificed his son for us. What are you willing to sacrifice for him? Give your whole life to him. Say, Lord, it's all yours. It's all yours. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go and bow our hearts before God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message today. And I know it's your Holy Spirit has come upon me to preach this message. And I thank you, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that all my brothers and sisters will truly experience your mighty, awesome love this very day. I pray, Lord, as they let your love just flow right into their spirit. Oh, they're going to know what the presence of God is all about. And I pray right now, Lord, that if there's anything in our lives that we have put number one other than you, I pray, Lord, we're going to make a decision today. So, Lord, no more. I'm going to put you number one. Whatever things that has been drawing us away from God, I pray, Father God, we're going to say no more to that anymore. And I pray right now, Lord, as your holy presence falls upon your people, counsel us, speak to us, that we know, Lord, whatever we need to do, we're going to make a decision to do it this very minute. And if you're saying, Pastor Ben, you know what, that's me. I've been holding on to this one thing, or maybe even several things, that's been causing me to not get closer to God because it's been drawing me away. Well, you know what? You're going to make a decision, or you're going to release it to God today. Because if you do, God has so much in store for your life. He's going to flood your life with greater and greater blessings if you're willing to let go this very day. And if that's you, you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you because it has to be the Holy Spirit. It's not Pastor Ben. It's the Holy Spirit. If he's speaking to you today to let go and just let him come into your life fully and completely, do it because he wants to bless you. And you're saying, yes, I'm willing, Lord. I want to give my all to you. My life belongs to you fully. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me, so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. keep your hands up. Just raise it up to Jesus. Raise it up to our Father God. Say, yes, Lord, I belong to you. Father God, you've seen all our hands raising up right now, Lord, saying, Lord, I want to surrender all to you. And I just pray right now as our hearts are being touched by your very hand. I pray, Lord, we're going to truly surrender our all to you. And I thank you, Lord, knowing that as we come with a heart of total surrender, you're going to fill us up with your holy presence. You're going to fill us up with all that we need to live life full of blessings, full of miracles, and full of victories. We praise you, Lord, because we need you. We're in desperate need of you, Father God. Oh, let your presence fall upon your people, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. More, Lord, as we decrease, may you increase in every way. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. We surrender all. We surrender all to you, our Lord God in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You put your hands down. Let's give him glory. Oh, give him glory. Now you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I heard about people talking about having a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? And you know, you start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you are sincere about this, you know that God is listening right now, and He wants to take your life, and He wants to transform you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Don't procrastinate. Say, I want him now. Because God wants to bless you right now. But you must surrender your life to him. And if that's what you want to do today, say, yes, I want to give my life to him, to Jesus Christ. Can you raise your hand and say, yes, I surrender my life to Jesus. Praise God. Anyone else? Say, yes, Lord, I surrender my life to him. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. You can put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud together. If you raise your hand, please pray this prayer, but mean it from your heart. And we'll pray together as a family here, this very prayer that truly expresses about what we believe about our Lord God and King. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this. So you can hear me, Father God. And so that everybody can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ.
I live for him.
I live for him.
And I live for him only.
I live for him.
Father God,
write my name
in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
And everyone said,
Amen.